another edition of the CJ McCollum Show. It is currently Tuesday, November 21st. I am at the New Orleans Pelicans practice facility. I just wrapped up practice. It's been a long 3 weeks. A lot of changes in my life. A lot of events have occurred. And I'm thankful to be speaking on this podcast today. Thankful to be sitting across Cassidy. And I hope that you had an eventful 3 weeks.
I mean, don't get me, I'm getting emotional. Like, this just hit me. I'm happy. I'm happy to see your smiling face. I think a lot of the fans were happy to hear an update from your coach yesterday about, you know, that you were going to be returning to practice and then you participated fully in practice. But man, you had a lot of people scared. And, you know, I know you've dealt with this collapsed lung, like even just saying that. Those are scary words.
Sure.
But you know, this is your second time dealing with it. Can you just explain what it's been like, how you found out you had this injury again and how you're on this road to recovery?
Yeah. So I've had a cough for a little while now. I had a cough that I think I got from my son. My son gets sick all the time and he gave me a cough that lasted probably longer than it should have lasted. I was on codeine, I was on a Z-Pak, and those types of things. And normally, for those that have taken codeine, you understand that your cough normally gets better. In this case, my cough didn't. And I actually got elbowed in, you know, the rib area against the Knicks, which hurt, but not as bad. And then I got elbowed again against Atlanta, and it really hurt when I got elbowed against Atlanta. I ended up finishing the game. And that night, I started wheezing a little bit and my cough got worse. It went from, you know, like a deep cough to like, you know, like that type of cough where you kind of gasping for air. And my wife was like, you need to get your lung x-ray. You need to get a chest x-ray. And I was like, all right. So I called, it was a Sunday and we were actually supposed to fly out to Denver for a road trip after practice. So I went into practice to get treatment like I always do. And I was coughing on the table and I had called the team doctor asked about getting a chest x-ray. And he's like, we don't know if we can get you in or not. The Saints got a game today, whatever, whatever, but we're going to try to get you in today. And they called back and was like, we can get you in. I just got up off the table and left. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, like maybe I had pneumonia in my lungs or something like that. And after the imaging, the doctor calls me and says, you got a small collapsed lung. And I was like, stop playing with me. Like, he's like, I wouldn't play with you. You know, I wouldn't joke with you about something this serious. And that's when I was like, okay, like how big is it? Was there anything else in the findings? And, you know, I found out that I had a cracked rib as well. So one of my ribs is broken. And I think the trauma actually caused the lung to partially collapse. And that's when began the process of speaking to pulmonologists.
Do you think it happened in Atlanta?
I think it happened in Atlanta. Yeah. I think based on the imaging of the fracture that I had in my ribs and the fact that the lung was partially collapsed and it was a small collapse, they could kind of tell that it had happened days prior, not weeks prior, which means, you know, the day before, I'm assuming that is when it happened on that play where I got elbowed in my ribs and began the process of speaking to pulmonologists. I had to call my family, let them know, and they were, you know, obviously freaking out. And I was, you know, nervous and worried because it's like you said before, it's the second time and I didn't really understand it. And I went through a bunch of testing and imaging to make sure I didn't have any genetic issues with my lungs or anything like that. And everything has been pretty positive. I understand that it was a traumatic incident that caused it. And I'm just an unlucky, lucky person, I would say that.
Right. Was it the same lung as the when you had it in Portland?
Yeah, it was the same lung, but a different part of the lung than the first one. So, yeah, it's a unfortunate situation that I went through, but thankfully I've been through it before and I understood, you know, the steps I needed to take to get back, what I needed to do from a breathing exercise standpoint, from an oxygen standpoint, and how long I would need to take before I began to ramp up and begin contact, obviously, with the broken rib. I needed to kind of rest anyway to kind of let that heal a little bit more. But I'm thankful for the doctors and thankful for the specialists that I use to kind of give me guidance. And the biggest thing is, you know, health is a priority. This isn't like an ankle sprain or anything like that. This is an internal organ situation where you want to make sure everything is how it's supposed to be. I want to be a father to my kids and, you know, a husband to my wife and live a long life, like a long, productive life. So I just had to make sure everything was how it was supposed to be. And I'm in the final stages of, you know, beginning to ramp up. And fortunately, I was able to practice today and take some more steps.
Is that no contact?
No, I was full contact today.
Okay. Well, that's how do you determine if you can take contact? Like, is it around the clock, you know, monitoring? Like, so after practice today, did you have to go get, it's not an x-ray. What kind of tests do they do?
No. So I think the beginning stages are testing to make sure the lung is fully expanding. So I get imaging. I start with MRI and then I do CT scan, chest x-ray. So that kind of shows, you know, if you've ever been in a scan before, you have to breathe, you have to hold your breath, exhale, yeah, all that stuff. So they can see the lungs expand and if the air is leaving, you know what I mean? Like making sure that it's fully expanding properly. When it's collapsed, it doesn't fully expand. And my lung has healed. I've gone through the process of, you know, checking and confirming that it was healed. And then it was about small steps, right? 50% max heart rate, you know, heart rate monitor, exercise 30 minutes on the bike. Then I go to a treadmill. Then I go on the court with the heart rate monitor. Then I go back to the treadmill, 70 to 80% of max heart rate on the bike, on the treadmill, on the curve. Then I go on the court and then I start ramping up where I'm wearing a heart rate monitor and I'm slowly increasing my intensity and my workload on the court while monitoring any symptoms, whether that's coughing, whether that's wheezing, whether that's chest pain, those things. And, you know, obviously I care about my life, so I report accurately. And then you just kind of continue to progress that way. And this was, you know, the next step. There's like 7 to 8 stages. And this was the next step, was to do a contact practice. And obviously we're in season, so contact practices aren't very long. It's just certain segments and parts of practice. I'll do some more stuff tomorrow and then kind of go from there and continue to provide feedback with my doctor and be in touch with my pulmonologist to make sure that everything is going how it's supposed to. And then that he gives me the proper timeline to go from practice to playing in games, which should be soon. So I'm excited about that. And I'm thankful, you know, for the doctors, team doctors, and, you know, the personal doctor that I've used for this matter. And I'm just happy that I can play the game I love with good health and be around my family. And, you know, it's not funny, but it's funny. You know, the first time my lung collapsed, I had a baby on the way. And the second time my lung collapsed, I had a baby on the way. So I think it's, you know, divine.
Is that
timing.
Just you trying to like tell your wife, like, look, I'm going through labor pains too?
I would much rather experience something else.
Of course.
But I think it's divine timing.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was meant for me to be at home for a little bit, meant for me to kind of center myself, settle down, spend some time with my family, really appreciate the things that I think a lot of times we take for granted. Better perspective. I gave other guys opportunity to play more, to develop more. I think our team is better, you know, from some of the injuries we've gone through and the experience that the guys have gotten. So I think there's bright ways to look at it. I'm still alive. I'm still able to breathe and hoop and be fit and have a long life ahead of me. So I'm just thankful that I can do the things that I want to do and the things that I was, you know, blessed enough to be able to do.
Man, CJ, this is just, it's like, you know, it's all heavy, but also just gives so much perspective on, you know, being thankful for just being able to have the proper medical care around you and, you know, thankful for, you know, like you said, to be able to be there for your family. And so much life has happened for you in this last, 3 weeks. I mean, as you mentioned, congratulations on your baby daughter. This is also a big kind of announcement in terms of like, you've been having to deal with a lot and you said you haven't been able to kind of officially announce it. What better way than on the CJ McCollum podcast that you have a brand new baby daughter? How's that been? Father of two now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Shout out to my wife, the real champion of all of this, carrying a baby and pushing a baby out. This is incredible. Incredible thing. The greatest gift on earth, being able to see a baby go from the belly to coming out into the real world, being able to hold it and it becoming a special part of your life. And to be able to have a daughter, I have a son. To be able to have a daughter, it's just a different feeling. The way they look at you, I think it changes you. It changes your mentality, how you think about stuff. Obviously, you have a son and you have a daughter, so you get the best of both worlds all in one, and to have everybody healthy, I think it's just a huge blessing. And the road to the recovery was wild because my lung collapsed and the first thing I thought about was I can't fly. And I was like, we were having our baby at John Hopkins in Baltimore, so I was like, oh, this is a problem. I can't fly. And we're having our baby in Baltimore, and I ended up taking the car 18
oh,
hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got driven to Baltimore because I couldn't
immediately
fly.
Like, so what was the timing? Did she, when did she give birth? Like, was it very close to when you, your lung collapsed?
My lung collapsed on like Saturday. She gave birth the next, not that Monday, but the next Monday. So I ended up going to Baltimore like on the weekend. It took me like a day.
Wow. So you were driving. Were you still in pain? Like how bad has the pain been?
The pain is more of the ribs. The breathing has gotten better. Once the lung fully healed, the breathing is back to normal. It's just the ribs. You know, when you break a rib, it's just sore. Movement is sore when you sneeze, when you cough. It's just sore for quite a bit.
Is it still?
If anybody has broken their rib. Yeah, but thankfully I'm not sneezing and coughing as much. But I think
yes,
when you have that type of injury, it just takes time and rest to heal. But when you ramp it up to play, you're not really resting.
Well, CJ, I mean, I think I could speak for everyone in the basketball world and, you know, your world. We're just so, so glad that you're, you know, on the mend and you're feeling better and you're, you know, being properly taken care of. And obviously it's, as you keep saying, you're just happy you're healthy and you're here. That is not to be taken lightly. But, you know, the question about when you're going to return to basketball is obviously there. I know you practiced fully for the first time today, which is Tuesday. But what does it look like? You know, last time you had this injury in 2021 with Portland, you know, you were cleared and then you didn't return to the, you know, playing in games until 3 weeks later after you were cleared. So, you know, do you have an idea of what that looks like for you in terms of when you could possibly return?
Yeah, I think the situations were different, mainly because it took longer for the lung to heal last time. I think it was a different type of collapse, if that makes sense. But also the timing of when it happened was during COVID. So I wasn't able to do much in the facility because our team actually had a COVID outbreak. We had 7 or 8 players test positive in a day. So I wasn't able to do certain stuff in the facility. And I wasn't able to ramp or have contact at all. I don't think I had contact at all between my lung collapse and returning to play. So it took a little longer. And then my son was actually born on January 10th. So I didn't return until after my son was born because of COVID and the fear that I may pass it to my wife and potentially to my unborn son. So that situation was different. In this case,
Not to mention all the heightened, you know, respiratory awareness and, you know, caution that people were taking during that time as well. So, okay. So then what is that? You know, so you're saying that it could be sooner rather than later.
I think it'll be soon. I'll speak to my pulmonologist tomorrow morning and I'll have some ongoing conversations with him in the next couple of days to see how I'm progressing, to see how I feel. But it shouldn't take 3 weeks. I don't foresee that happening based on how I feel and based on the feedback I've received from our team doctor. So I think this situation is different. My daughter's already here, which is something I'm thankful for. And now it's just about ramping up and then getting the okay for my doctor to press go. And then the other part of it is the flying, figuring out when he will allow me to fly and play, because flying and playing is different than me just flying and sitting on the couch with my kid.
Yeah. And the rib, is it like healed
or, good enough,
you know, Good enough. And mentally, you know, one time, obviously it's like, okay, well, maybe that, you know, that was like, this happened to me now twice. Like how are you feeling mentally going forward, you know, about having this kind of injury again? Is it something that like is easy to kind of now that you know more about it, be less worried about, or is it the opposite?
I think it's a situation where you have to have faith and you have to have strong mental toughness to do any job, especially the job that we do. And it's just more about preparation, making sure I'm prepared, making sure I'm educated on how to better protect my body, but also understand that there's things that are going to happen on the court that you can't control. I'm going to play hard and do the best that I can do. And I hope that we don't have any situations like this that occur in the future. Some of it is just, you know, wearing protection, you know, having the proper padding and things like that to kind of soften any potential blows I may receive just playing the game. And the other part of it is just understanding that in life it's going to be what it's going to be. You can only control certain things, and that's mentality, that's approach, And my mentality and approach is always the same. When you step on this court, you got to be ready to play, and you got to be ready for anything that comes with playing this game, which can sometimes be injuries, and sometimes it can be success, sometimes it can be losing, but that's all a part of the game.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In terms of, you know, what's going on with your team, you know, you guys are, since losing those five straight games, had some big wins. You know, they've gone 3-1, wins over Dallas, the Nuggets, and then, as you know, most recently the Kings, you know, one of the hottest offensive teams in the league, and three, you know, Western Conference top teams. And things have been going really well in terms of, you know, just like the overall mood around the team, because it was a tough start, to say the least. Zion said that, you know, you guys had a team meeting and things kind of changed after that. Like, what, you know, I know you've been dealing with your own medical issues and then obviously new baby, but how much, like, what can you tell us about, like, just the what's happening with the team and you know, the vibes around, you know, New Orleans?
Well, the vibes are great, man. I think the adversity has helped build character. You know, going on that losing streak, obviously having a lot of players injured, myself, Jose, Trey Murphy, Larry's in and out. Herb was out of the lineup for a few games. I think that definitely impacted our roster, impacted our depth and our ability to scheme, right? Like, you're missing wings, you're missing guards, you're missing bigs. It's hard to win in any sport, especially a competitive sport like ours in the Western Conference, when you're missing multiple starters and you're missing multiple rotation guys. It's just very difficult to have success. So I think that played a factor. And I think a part of it was being able to trust each other, being able to have those conversations that sometimes can be uncomfortable in order to get the best out of everybody. I was obviously in constant communication with our staff, FaceTiming them, checking in while I was away, you know, talking to some of the players. And the good thing is that guys didn't point the finger. They figured out a way to look from within and figure out a way to get better independently. But I was on the phone a lot. The day my daughter was born, I was on the phone getting, you know, information and feedback on how we were doing and what we were looking to kind of get better at as, you know, you go through losing streets, everybody's looking around like, how do we turn it around? And I think they've done a great job of being together, defending, rebounding, pushing the tempo, sharing the ball. The assists have been through the roof, and our starters have played exceptionally well, especially these last four or five games.
And obviously you haven't been around the team as much as you were if you were healthy. And but were you there for that team meeting that Zion was talking about?
No, but I made some calls after the last loss. I was like, what are we doing? We got to tighten some things up. It's time for us to have a conversation as a team. And Larry was like, I'm on it. I'm scheduling a meeting today. And we had a team meeting that morning.
So Larry was able to organize it. That's great. I mean, but look, it proved to, you know, be one of those situations that, like, helped galvanize the team. And that's what Zion was saying. It's like, everybody wasn't on the same page, and that's understandable. Like, you know, it's the beginning of the season. Like, we're just 20 games in, you know, that's nothing in an 82 game season. And there's a lot of changes, a lot of people out, you know, and those are big wins against teams that, you know, are rolling and feel a sense of confidence. And so, you know, it's a good situation that's going on right now, especially with the in-season tournament. You know, if you guys get a win over the Clippers and, you know, the Rockets lose to the Nuggets, you guys would get the Group B berth. And we could see you in Vegas, you know, for your return, even maybe even sooner. So how you feeling about, like, just this in-season tournament run? And, you know, we talked about how, you know, like, let's wait and see if the excitement's around it. My take on it, it's been pretty good. Like, it's been effective. People are paying attention. It, like, the courts may be ugly, but you know what's happening. How do you feel about, you know, the in-season tournament and the Pelicans' ability to, you know, advance to the next round?
It's been a hit. I think outside of some of the courts hurting my eyes and hurting a lot of fans' eyes, there's been really good conversations around the change, right? The jerseys are different. The court is different. The competition appears to be different, right? Where you got guys competing, you got chokeholds, you got lots of stuff going on to where you can really see the competitive nature really kicking in. I think it's good for the sport. It's great for the game, and it's great for our fans to be able to see competitive, meaningful games in November. Obviously, there's money on the line, and that's always an incentive. But being able to go to Vegas in December is a dope feeling, especially if you don't live in a place where it's warm. Like, thankfully, you know, I can wear shorts and a t-shirt here in the dirty South in NOLA. But in a lot of other places, it's cold, right? And to be able to go to Vegas in December, win some extra bread, compete on the big stage, be able to play some blackjack on the side, maybe win a chip and hit Dre's up afterwards is never a bad thing. And I think we're in position to do that, which is really dope.
I mean, let me remind the listeners that if you don't know, CJ McCollum is the president of the Players Association, and it was his idea to, you know, said, like, either Vegas or Miami. Let's make it interesting. And look, we heard also, you know, Damian Lillard made a good point. Like, there's a lot of guys on the team who could use that extra cash, you know, like, this is that can make a big difference in their life. And so I feel the momentum already. I think it's been a success so far. And I think, you know, we haven't even gotten to the rounds where, you know, that game is do or die, if you will, where I think that the excitement will really pick up. And so maybe we'll see you guys there. As you said, the vibes are immaculate around this team right now. You know, how like, even Zion, you know, there were some issues during that 5-game winning a losing streak where, you know, felt like he was like, I got to go with the flow. I don't, you know, it seemed like the offense wasn't running through him. What kind of conversations have you had with him over the past couple of weeks about how, you know, things have been going for him and the success around the team?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of conversations just about his greatness and what comes with greatness, right? No excuse, just produce. You got to figure it out. Ball's going to be in your hands when it matters. You're going to get your touches. You're going to get your shots. You got to be efficient. You got to be effective. And I think another part of it was getting in extra work, right? Whether that's before practice or after practice, getting an extra conditioning. He's been on the bike. On days where he doesn't play on a back-to-back, he still has a day, right? He has treatment. He has to work out. He's on a bike. He's doing what he's supposed to do to continue to stay in game shape. On practice days, we had a contact practice today. Everybody participated except for, I think, Trey didn't practice today. So we're going live. We're going contact. You have PD work before practice. You have tape work before practice. We work on your body. And then he got PD work with BI because it's important that they can get along on the court, that they can have that chemistry, that cohesiveness. They need to know where each other like the ball. They need to know each other like certain spaces. So the more they can get those 10, 15 minutes in, those daily vitamins every day, is really important for us as a team because we go as they go. Obviously, there's intricate pieces around them that make the game better. Jordan Hawkins, right? Shooting the ball, making quick decisions, smart, a cerebral player. You got Matt Ryan shooting the ball really well. You got Herb, who's Mr. Do-It-All. You got JD. We got all of these pieces. Dyson's been balling, right? Defending.
Balling, yeah.
We have all of these pieces, but those those pieces don't matter if the two aren't cohesively right. playing well together and efficiently being comfortable together. So they're doing the right things. Saying the right things is one thing. Now I'm seeing the actual action of working out after practice together, not by yourself, together. Me and Dane worked out together all the time. It was very important for us to understand, like, he likes the ball like this. He likes these spaces. He knows CJ likes to drive this way. I know he likes to step back that way. Like, that's very important because come a time in the game where, as I tell B and Z all the time, I need to be looking at you and know what you're thinking. And until we have so many conversations, we're not going to be there. Y'all got to have so many conversations where this eye contact, you're posting up. I know he don't got to put his hand up. I know he wants it right here. Like, we got to get there. And it takes real conversations and dialogue. And I think they're getting to that point where they understand what it takes to be great, but also what you have to do on a day-to-day basis. And this, sometimes it's sacrifice. Like, you can't go get 40 every night. Right. Sometimes the other guy is going. Sometimes you got a hot hand over here. Like, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to win. I think it's a lot of people growing up at the same time, which is great for our team and our roster, because as Giannis said, 69 games from now, it's going to be very important.
Yeah. And look, the skill level in the NBA is so high, and it's almost like splitting hairs because it's such a small group, a small fraternity, if you will. And like everyone is talented. That's why, you know, you shouldn't roll your eyes when it comes to the conversation of like chemistry matters in this league, because it does. It's what separates teams. If they're all kind of communicating, and it goes, I think, really in any work, but it's easy to kind of pinpoint it in when you're watching, you know, the NBA is like, are these teams communicating on the same level? Do they know when to give and take? And so when you're watching what's happening with your team right now, and you're seeing that chemistry and that bond being built between Zion and BI, and, you know, with the understanding of like the three of you guys, like, where are we at right now and how many games the three of you have played together in total?
Season?
In general.
Maybe. Three together, maybe four together this season.
So we're at like 14 in general. Yeah, 15 in general. Okay. Yeah. So what are you telling yourself as you're watching these games and also observing those two building their, you know, rapport and for when you return and, you know, get inserted back into that lineup, how you can help continue to elevate this team?
No, I know exactly where I fit in. I know exactly how I fit in. I know how I can be a value add to those guys in terms of spacing, in terms of providing direction, play calls. Down the stretch of games is really important. You talked about how good everybody is in the league. When you get closer to the playoffs, when you play playoff caliber teams, those last 5 minutes are really important. The first 5 minutes in the third quarter are really important, right? Start of games is important, but you got so much time. Third quarter, the last 5 minutes, specifically the last 2 minutes when the game is within, you know, 5 points, you need to be able to execute. You need to have the right play calls. The right people need to have the ball, which is so important in basketball, especially down the stretch of games. You want your best players having the ball in spaces they're comfortable in, with space to make decisions and to empower whoever they want to shoot. Like, Z should be choosing who shoots. B.I. should be choosing who shoots, whether that's themselves, making a pass to Dyson, making a pass to Herb, making a pass to JV, making a pass to Hawk, making a pass to myself. They need to understand where they like the ball at, why they like the ball in those spots, and then how to be the director, right? Like, I think Bruce said it the other day, it's like Picasso making a painting. Like, you should know why you're doing certain things. Like, you should know, if I want to get to my left hand.
Who said that last week?
The ball here, Corey Brewer. He talked about how when Z catches the ball in the post, out of respect, they're going to double. When they don't double, it's disrespect. I always say, if they don't double, it's disrespect. They should be doubling you. When you take that dribble, you should know what's going to happen. And you should be able to dictate what happens. Like, you want this guy to get a shot, you got to send this guy through for the cut. Like, you have to think the game, and that's the next step for him. And we just watched the best player in the NBA do it, right? Joker. I think he's the best player in the league. The way he orchestrates, the way he moves the pieces on the chessboard in terms of when to throw the lob to AG, when Jamal Murray comes back, when they do that handoff action where it's a rip screen into a handoff with the role replace, with Porter Jr. as the role replace guy, so the tag roller is in a tough spot. Do I tag? the big rolling down the middle and leave one of the best shooters in the NBA open? Or do I hug one of the best NBA shooters in the world and let the roller, who's also the best player in the world, roll and pick us apart? It's like, you got to really think the game. We all got skill, but those who are mentally tough and can think the game are the ones who survive and the ones who can extend their careers, you know, and play outside of the talent. So I think it's important that we get there. And I think we are taking like the perfect strides at the perfect time. We still got a lot of games left. We still got pieces we're going to implement. Trey Murphy, all these guys who have like specific skill sets that perfectly complement what we have, which is going to be really cool to see.
And thinking the game needs to be in concert. You know, that speaks to just the chemistry is, you know, like your instincts all need to be kind of in tune with one another. And then that's when you see with the Nuggets, especially in their title run, it just was so fluid because all their instincts were synced up. And so, yeah, it's great that you guys are feeling that way. And, you know, like there's a momentum and it's got to make it easier for you to be out, you know, and dealing with this, that the team's not struggling, that there is, that you're seeing the progress being built. And, you know, there's just, I think there's just a lot to be thankful for right now. Like you, I'm so glad that you're feeling better. And, you know, that the scary situation is that you got the proper help and got a new baby girl to be, you know, at home. And like, what a great, you know, Thanksgiving week this is going to be for you. So, you know, you're returning to practice. You got, how's Jacoby doing as an older brother? Like, it's just.
Yeah. He's hanging in there.
It's always hard.
He's adjusting. He's been great in terms of giving her little stuffed animals and, you know, trying to be gentle, but also jealous that you're holding the baby and not him at times. So you're kind of going through that cycle, but he's actually really sick right now. So he's just isolated. He's away from the baby and away from mama right now in the house, just kind of on the other side.
Oh, well, I hope he feels better. I mean, are you guys hosting Thanksgiving?
No, not under these circumstances. We will not be hosting Thanksgiving.
Okay.
No, just a quick, a small family thing because we don't want to get anybody sick, especially with the little one.
Yeah,
the newborn that makes in the house.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you know, if it's going to be like a small intimate situation, is there something that like you have to have on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I'm actually going to send my request in today. I got to have ham or turkey. I got to have dressing. And some people call it stuffing. And I got to have collard greens. The rest is negotiable. Like we could do cornbread. We cannot do cornbread. We can do baked mac and cheese. We cannot do baked mac and cheese. But okay. I got to have those things. And I got to put a little bit of hot sauce.
And you're like a ham or turkey.
Ham or turkey. I'm not tripping.
Like turkey to me,
it's dry.
Like it's just like, do you eat turkey any other time of the year? Like,
turkey
are you
sandwich?
Well, that's different. Deli meat is different. Are you like, let's go roast a turkey? That's what we're gonna do on Sunday. No, like, do you think turkeys, you know, are fine with like everyone eating them on one day, or would they prefer to be like spread out like chicken and be eaten?
I think the turkeys probably are thankful that they only go under intense scrutiny during certain times of the year, and then the rest of the year they free to roam however they see fit. So I think it's pretty cool, and a lot of people aren't going for turkeys, right? A lot of people were doing other stuff. Some people fry chickens and just live their life, you know.
Yeah, You know Popeyes is giving away turkeys in a bag that you could just take home? And the people say it's really good. Not going to lie.
You had it?
No, I haven't, but I'm thinking about it. I have my husband's family, his sister, who are going to their house. They're kosher. And so it's just a different type of Thanksgiving.
Challah bread.
There's just no dairy. So it's just a different kind of Thanksgiving. So me and my husband make a Thanksgiving with butter on the weekend.
Gotcha.
Cook with some butter. But I will say I agree. I guess turkey just because it's the thing you eat. But
what's your dessert of choice?
So I wasn't a fan of pumpkin pie growing up, but I found the best pumpkin pie in New York City, which I can't even have on Thanksgiving because you can't have desserts like that either at a kosher Thanksgiving because it's made with dairy too.
You can't smuggle it in and just eat it yourself.
I mentioned that to my husband. I go, can I just eat it like at a side table? But it's
walk outside.
Walk outside. Some people go on other breaks. I just want a pie break. Can you get or mac and cheese?
You're not gonna come back with your eyes red.
From the pie. We going on a pie walk. If you know, you know.
You're gonna need some pie after the walk.
No. But no, I'm into pumpkin pie. A particular pumpkin pie, because I feel like pumpkin pies can be hit or miss. I like sweet potato pies, but I don't get them that much. I mean, what's your dessert?
Strawberry cheesecake, regular
strawberry cheesecake. For Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you asked me what do I like.
About desserts in general.
You get to pick your dessert on Thanksgiving too. There's no rule that says you have to have pumpkin pie. I do like pumpkin pie. I like sweet potato pie too.
Well, which one do you like more?
If I had to pick, like, what am I going to have on Thursday, I would request strawberry cheesecake.
Are we talking, like, where is this strawberry cheesecake coming from?
My mom knows how to make it. Chef knows how to make it. I'm sure my wife can find a Pinterest recipe. But I'm actually probably going to request strawberry cheesecake. I think I really want it. And some cookies. Okay. We always make cookies on Thanksgiving. My wife and I
bake
cookies.
What kind of cookies?
We bake cookies from scratch. She does the you know, putting it all together, and then I sprinkle stuff on it and then put it in the oven.
Oh, okay.
Or I stir it up. So I like sugar cookies. I like white chip macadamia nut cookies.
Solid.
I like M&M cookies, like chocolate chip M&M cookies. And
so you just go in town on cookies. Like that could be dangerous because then it's just like, it's like it doesn't count. It's like you sneak, it's like rolls, like dinner rolls, like as you're leading up to the... There's like cookies are like that for you.
It's true. But my wife found this really dope vegan. What's it called? What are people doing now? Where they have no bread or whatever in there? Not vegan,
gluten-free.
She made gluten-free cookies for this family we went to, and they were gluten-free. And I was like, are you gonna make gluten-free cookies? They were amazing.
Really?
They couldn't believe it.
Because like the whole sentence you just said was vegan, gluten-free, amazing. Said no one ever, but my best friend has celiac, so I've had pretty much all the gluten-free food you could possibly have, and it's not.
Yo, I'm not kidding. I'm gonna have my wife make these cookies.
You're gonna be like,
is this really gluten-free? I couldn't believe I asked like six times. Everybody's asking like, is this really gluten-free? Because like anything gluten-free historically hasn't been great for me. Personally.
Yes.
Fire.
And they're cookies, so that's right up your alley. The cookie tray must be off. The chain of your house. Like, this is a lot of cookies. And you're going to want strawberry cheesecake? All right. So what I know and understand is ham or turkey, collard greens, and cookies.
Yes, we used to bake cookies. Dame used to do a Thanksgiving at his house every year. And Dame's whole family, they all come from Oakland. And his dad would make me oxtails, and I eat the oxtails. And they would all request cookies. He's like, did you and your wife make those cookies? So we had to make cookies every year. So that's how we got into making cookies.
Honestly, cookie is a good like Thanksgiving dessert because you just grab it. You grab it and no one's like, it just, it's like it doesn't happen. It's like the girl math of you know, desserts.
And then the good sign is they eat and they say, who made these? And it's not like, who made these? It's like, who made these? These are so good.
Okay, maybe you need to open up your own crumble. If the cookies are on it like that, you know, people, look, the cookie sales have been crazy these days.
Mm-hmm. Crumble has, shout out to Tobias Harris. He's out here making some moolah on the franchise side. Good for him.
Right, right. Well, I am, you know, so happy that we are able to, you know, get this podcast off again. You could update everybody wanting to know how you're doing. We were all worried. We're so glad to see your smiling face, and we can't wait to see you back on the court. But in the meantime, enjoy that little girl. Enjoy hashtag girl dad.
I will.
She's going to have you wrapped around her finger. Not that Jacoby doesn't, but.
Oh, she already does. Say. It's over. It's over for me. Game's over. I'm cooked.
You game are, over. But. It's a beautiful thing, and we can't wait to see you back on the court in Vegas, maybe, you know, like you reap the rewards of all the planning for the last 2 years you've done as, you know, the president of the Players Association around this in-season tournament.
It would be a nice touch. It would be a very nice touch.
So much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for you, my partner, and, you know, we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the food. Sneak some cake in if you can and get some yeah. rest because Monday comes before you know it.
I know, exactly. Happy Thanksgiving to you too.